November 16, 2021, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Happy Tuesday. Start the show with I'll Get By As Long As I Have You from John Coltrane. And then from Rosalie, Chokeweed Solo Guitar, Drinking from the Spring. And because of those Estonian software engineers with a Skype invention, I got Rosalie Middleman. Welcome aboard, Rosalie.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Got
to
give Brother Bill Nace credit for the connect once again.
Yes, okay. Bill.
So I'm interested in the journey through music that you've been on.
But yeah.
Let's go from the beginning, okay? So earliest musical memory you still have?
Both my parents are musicians. They both play guitar, and they still play kind of like jazz standards together. But growing up, they had a rock and roll band, and there's seven kids in my family, and we would all sing together, like a lot of traditional songs. And then also just growing up with parents, you know, in a band, went to a lot of shows. I grew up kind of learning. There are always instruments around. Even though my parents are musicians, I'm self-taught. You know, it was just
What's the memory? Just the whole family situation of learning music? Or did they all blend into one big?
Yeah. I'd say the earliest is
For example, I had a guest on last week, and she had a memory from the womb. When she was in her ma's womb.
That's incredible. I would say my earliest ones are falling asleep, like as a kid, to hearing my dad. He'd play like the Bach cello suites and Yesu Joy on his guitar. And so even now, like Bach, kind of, it's relaxing music anyway, but it brings me back to being very small.
Yeah. You know, there was guitars around the pad and stuff. Were you the youngest of the seven?
No, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm the fifth.
I just asked that because, man, you know, I've been having a lot of guests that do experimental music and stuff, and they seem to be the run of the litter, huh? I was wondering, it was just an anomaly, or is there something to that, man? Well, obviously, record collections, right? If you're the firstborn, you got nobody's except your parents' collection. But maybe if you're a younger child, you got cats closer to your age, but they're ahead of you still.
Yeah, and with having like older siblings, and everybody's taste was completely different. So I had one sister, you know, she's super into punk, and so I heard a ton of that, and she gave like my first tapes. She gave me my first Walkman and like Nirvana tapes, and
those were presents. What was the first music you bought with your own money?
Ooh, what was the first one? I'm trying to remember. I don't actually know. It may have been like Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill.
Okay, you got to remember, it's a Walk for Pedro show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
I think it was something like that.
The first gig that you went and saw?
Other than like growing up going to stuff, I'd say like I went to a lot of punk shows, but I don't remember, you know, what they were.
My first gig, and me and D. Boone saw T-Rex. I could tell you right like that. 1973. Long Beach Auditorium.
The first big one I went to was with my dad. It was Phish playing in Grand Rapids at the Van Andel Arena.
Okay, so Michigan. 12, so, you know, Michiganers, when they want to show you where they live, they hold their hand out. So you'd be right there under the pinky.
Yeah, I'm like down under the pinky.
Yeah, you know who was from there? Brother Steve McKay from Stooges on the saxophone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I think Gerald Ford, too, Foss, we had for a little bit. Kind of a bad man, right? But he wasn't voted in. no sidetrack here, but at school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Yeah, I was in both in middle school. I played saxophone in middle school.
Which one? Alto, tenor?
I played tenor.
Okay. Oh, like John Coltrane. Now he's born in Hamlet, North Carolina.
Yeah, and lived in Philly for a long time. But at the time,
in between High Point. Okay. I think in Hamlet only a little bit, but I did take Tu Fratelli and Il Signore di Marinaio. To see the, you know, I've always driven by the side, and I knew he was born by the side of the road, so I went and found the building, and this guy with a auto mechanic place saw us looking in. It's an NAACP building now. And he had the key to this room where they, you know, celebrate him. And he, you know, yeah, it's a kid. So, did they teach you how to read?
Yeah, I did, but, you know, I don't really know how to read anymore.
No, I mean, at that time.
Yeah.
Because you don't use it, you lose it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, I was in choir, so I learned, knew how to sight read, and I was in our state honors choir and did a lot of that.
What about after school, not graduation, but in the afternoon, like garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
I played a lot with my siblings, but when I was in high school, I was in a all women's bluegrass band with a friend who was also in high school, and then two older ladies who were probably in their late 40s or 50s at the time. And we play like local festivals and things like that.
Was that where you did your first gig?
Yeah, I would say, I think so. And
you remember it?
Yeah, I do. I played mandolin, but I wasn't like a shredder on the mandolin. But I was the singer mostly.
And the mandolin came from like your folks kind of influence?
Yeah, we had a whole, like, they're like their group of hippie musician friends, and some of them owned a Grange Hall.
Oh yeah, I know Grange. It was kind of a union for farmers.
Totally. And it was, so on Friday nights, like, everybody would get together and jam. And that's sort of like how I first got into improvising. There's a big tradition in, you know, bluegrass music.
You know, mandolin, yeah. I got to tell you this, like 100, 120 years ago, there used to be all girl mandolin orchestras, like 20, 30 of them. And they'd be all different sizes. And in fact, bass mandolin. Tune and fourths, not like fifths, like violins and mandolins, the other ones. And it had frets. So Leo Fender really can't be credited with the first fretted bass.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you've heard of precision bass, right? A P bass?
Totally.
That's why he called it a precision, because it had frets. Because all the other basses, the big doghouse, right? They were like giant violins without chin parts. But actually in these mandolin orchestras, because I saw one at McCabe's guitar set, and I saw these pictures on the wall of these women bands, like 20, and they're all mandocellos, all these different sizes of them. They did all the range of the frequencies by the different size. I think what they thought in those days, because of the problem with the timbre and, you know, intonation, you just make the instruments the same kind but different sizes.
Totally.
Yeah.
My dad actually is currently playing in a mandolin orchestra.
Oh, bitch. So tell me about that first gig.
I'm trying to remember the name of the festival. It was like a small bluegrass folk music festival in Michigan, like one where you camp out. But being like a teenager, you know, it's like, it just seemed like the wildest time. We'd camp out and we didn't have any original songs. You know, we played a lot of traditionals, but yeah, it was the first time, 'cause there were like, you know, a lot of people there.
Were you scared?
Not really. I get more nervous now. It's funny than
I still get scared. I guess fucking shit, peak analog. Fuck. I just came back from 3 gigs. The first gigs in an airplane out of town in 20 months.
Oh man, yeah. I just got off a tour with Long Hot, my other band,
okay.
2 days ago.
Now these bluegrass ladies. What was the name of that unit?
Yeah, that's, I can't remember.
Remember the wrong answers.
Jesse, because I'm trying to remember what we were called. It was so long ago.
Anyway, did they tour?
No, it was just kind of like the older ladies, like their husbands, all played in different bands. It was, you know, kind of their outlet for it. Sure. So we just played like local things, and
did you learn a lot from them?
Definitely.
You know, we've kind of lost that, where older people play with less older people. Yeah. My last tour before the situation, I had a drummer 40 years younger than me, so maybe we're getting back to that. because they were always marketing rock and roll as a youth thing. You can't do that now with 80-year-old yeah. Rolling Stones. You gave me this yeah. music, Silver Eyes. I want to play that, okay?
All right.
fluttering wing flight. A butterfly. And now the rain knocks on the window. Were the halos and the cat your sigh of defeat? She said to me, you're already beat, so don't step out into the light, just
my only mistake. I mind bender, wheel rear ender, crashed broken, shut and open.
Thank you.
for people. She'll start off that chunk of music with Silver Eyes from Rosalie. Then Fuse on. She's got a new album, Days and Nights. I think it's called New Decade. She's getting back into music big time. Neil Turpin. This is a drummer man out of Leeds, England, and he made a record where he played everything, dealing with the situation. Jess Joy, Permanent Heaven. Wands Dover, got to play with him at the Unhinged Festival Friday. He's great, great cat, Denton, Texas. The Morning Walk. Then SLWCC Watt, Mindbender. This is a project, a collab with Sam Locke Ward in Iowa City. Lagoon Monster, Rubber Mask, Volume 3, Part B2. More from Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore. And then James Twig Harbor and Rubber O Cement with Twist with the Spiral Gangwatangs. And finally, Rosalie, Pour Over Ice. After you graduate school, do you go to higher education for music?
I didn't go for music. I went for art.
You mean music ain't art?
Well, it is.
I'm just having fun with you. No, it's weird how it's all split up like that, right? I've had people on the show, though, like the last cat, kind of musicals. And I think we're mixing more together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what kind of art? Like visual?
Visual art. And I originally went to study biology. I went to a school in Minnesota, but I just found myself being pulled to art. So.
Were you a Golden Gopher?
I went to Carleton College.
Oh yeah. I got played there once. With fire hose, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time when, bands could play colleges all the time.
Yeah, they're
that
a little
stopped vain. A long time ago, though. It kind of tailed off a long time ago. When you went to do your art thing visually, mm-hmm. and biologically, did you still keep music somewhere in your life?
Oh, yeah. I had a couple bands in college, and I was always playing and writing. But it's one of those things, like, I didn't think I was good enough as far as to study it. Like, my reading comprehension wasn't great. And in a school like that, it didn't really have, like, a program, I guess, for music that I was interested in playing.
Yeah.
I played a lot in, bands and just on my own.
And in a college town, there's, a scene, you can play gigs and... Do you remember the first song you wrote?
Growing up, we wrote a lot of, like, just goofy songs with, like, funny lyrics and silly stuff like that. But I think the first song I can remember, it was in my college band, and we were called The June. I wrote a lot of the songs for that band.
Do you remember the first June gig?
Yeah, we played at the Cave at Carleton. And it was with another college band. And it was a lot of fun. Like, tons of people were there. It was like the kind of one of the first shows where I felt like, oh, this is it. This is what I want.
You weren't playing mandolin, were you?
No, I played guitar and bass. My friend Kanishka and I, we'd switched.
Oh, bass! When did that happen? Yeah. When did you start playing bass?
In college, I guess. I didn't play it at all in high school, but...
And what was your first bass?
I never owned it.
Okay.
So Kanishka had a bass, so I would use his. And it was like a... I think it was like a Rickenbacker ripoff. Okay. Like, just a... cheap bass,
simulation.
Yeah, and I played it kind of more like you would play a guitar, I guess. But
I wanted to ask you the question from your experience with it: 4-string guitar or 4-string drum set?
Yeah, 4-string guitar is how
because really getting this idea about the 4-string drum set. No, because the notes, right? We're closest to the kick drum and 4-time maybe, but none of that other stuff.
Yeah.
On the guitar, that's more like the cymbals and the hi-hat, snare drum. So, did you like it? Was it hard on your fingers? It was hard on me, the big string.
Oh, it was. But I did like it. It it simplifies it. There's only four strings, and I do like the lower register. And I play baritone guitar as well.
Yeah, that's trippy. That is a trippy instrument because it's a low note, but it don't have the punch in the big strings.
Right.
And they're closer together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it creates, like when you have like a three piece or something.
Yeah. No, they doubled it a lot with country western music, even hard rock, those Aerosmith records. Because it isn't as punchy as a bass guitar. When you double a guitar with those things, it really beefs them up. And then they used this thing called the Tic Tac bass, right? And the Patsy Cline kind of stuff. Baritones are interesting. One day, there's just so little for me. I'm used to the cables. The little string one I got is this Hofner Beetle bass. They got little flat wounds. So during the gigs, did you and the other cat switch off guitar and bass between songs?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'd switch back and forth. He was a better guitar player than I was at the time.
But not anymore.
Not anymore.
Okay, great.
I don't think he plays that much anymore, but.
For some people, music's just a little brief thing in their life, huh?
Yeah.
I've seen that a lot of times. And then other people, they just can't fucking quit like me. I remember John Coltrane, reading about John Coltrane asking Miles Davis, you know, Miles, I can't stop playing. What can I do? And Miles said, well, you take the motherfucking mouthpiece out of your motherfucking mouth. That's what he wrote in his book, the Quincy True book. Yeah. So what do you do after college? Or let me ask you first, did any of those college bands tour?
No.
What about record?
What's that?
Record. R-E-C-O-R-D. Here, we can't talk at the same time, that's why we're having trouble. R-E-C-O-R-D.
Oh, we did record, but we didn't do anything with it. We just kind of did it for ourselves, and then we stopped playing because one of the members graduated. So we do have like a recording somewhere. It's never been out in the public.
Yeah, because I noticed among this music you gave me, there's none of the June.
Nope.
Okay. What do you do after college?
I moved to Vermont and I work as a cheesemaker, milking cows.
No, I mean musically.
Well, it's advertising. So the guy I was dating at the time, he is a musician. And actually during college, he and I got really into more the experimental improvisational music. Really just playing for ourselves. We'd have other people come and play as well. But we were both farmers like in the daytime, and then we would play like art galleries and other weird spaces that was a lot more improvisational music.
Did this have a name? Is this the Monocot?
No, that's a recent thing.
Okay,
We went by Secret Americans and Blood Like Mine.
Oh, you didn't give me any.
No, I didn't. We never put anything out. I should have thought too, but we were actually about to, this is how I ended up releasing my first record on Silt Breeze, because Tom was going to put out one of our records. It was like a back date, like back recordings from like a decade's worth of music. And we got all the way to the point of, we picked all the tracks, put it together. I went over, we had broken up at this point, but we were still friends, and I went over to his house to get the files to have them mastered, and he ghosted me.
That means like hiding, like?
Yeah, he didn't answer the door.
That's what they say now, ghost, okay.
Yeah.
we call it the, I remember there was a Fear song, Get in the Brush, like it was the brush off, right, the brush.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now they say ghost. Okay.
Ignored me.
Thank you for that, Rosalie, for that education. I don't sound so old-fashioned. I'll be able to say that. But that was fucked up of him. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour. November 16, 2020. This Watt Peters, her special guest, Rosalie Middleman. Hold tight for hour two. Yeah. November 16, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt for Peters.
see the happy fools who love to dance. They'll be staying high tonight in their baggy pants. The DJ's temple must be destroyed, but his myth will grow even stronger in the void. And there are those written in memory stone who had to warp from being flesh, blood, bone to be immortal. After all, the anorexic birdman has to sing of the hungry sorrows that devour him. Hear the funky white boys' whistles blow. They'll be dressed for desert war in their khaki clothes. And there are those written in memory's stone who had to walk from being flesh, blood, bone to be immortal. After all, the man who de-invented, oh, he reinvented, is laughing at all this. Deadest of dead, dead poets on repeat loop, death in a dead, dead decade. Something of him still dreaming in the ground, wrapped in shrouds of pure timeless sound. And their names are written in memory stone. They had to walk from being flesh, blood, bone to be immortal. After all, and their names are written in memory stones. They had to walk from being flesh, blood, bone to be immortal. After all, thank you.
Thank you.
week or so, we start off the second hour, Rosalie doing Mouth. Then Kevin Haywick with Memory Stone, Bombas Prendon, Backwards Tape Masking, Violent Squid. They were on that Unhinged Festival I did Friday. Titan. Wonder Complains for a Conversation. And then Long Hots. This is the college band, right? Die.
Long Hots is a Philly band.
It was the Philly band. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The June was the college band. Yeah.
Yes.
Idiot. Okay. But we're not Philly yet, right? We're up in Vermont as Farmers.
Yeah. Well, so we're Farmers, and then we moved to Philly, and we were still making music.
Okay.
And then that's when he ghosted me.
Okay.
After years of being in Philly.
Okay. And Long Hots, is that with him?
No. Long Hots is so that started 4 years ago, and that's with my friends Eva Killinger and Catherine Lippman.
Okay.
Eva played drums in Spacen, and I moved in with Eva. We were both going through some stuff, and we moved in together, and we decided to start a band.
Ah, Catherine, music is a lifeline. I like that therapy.
Yeah.
You don't know how many times music has helped me, Rosalie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I would say that the band kind of, like, saved my life in a way. Like, it was a whole different energy. It's, you know, heavy garage. We call it basement boogie.
in which work? Guitar?
Yeah. I played guitar. And, yeah, so we just started jamming, and we invited Catherine, who lived across the street. And it took us a little while to figure out, like, you know, what do we sound like? And then once we hit on it, that was it. And we just did a 2-week tour on the West Coast.
But, okay, when did you get to Philly?
I moved to Philly in 2007.
Seven. So, and this band's from 4 years ago, so for 3 years there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it took like 10 years after I lived in Philly to start that band.
And so when you gave me this stuff called Rosalie, this is Woman Alone?
That's
like we're gonna play your song next, right?
Yeah.
And that's you. Well, did you get into the multi-track thing, the 4-track? And
I did a bunch of that like in college.
Yeah.
And
oh, along with the Jew, like
just like personal, you know, exploration. I was super shy and never put anything out. Even though I performed and all of that, I don't know why, but I just never got to the point of feeling like I was ready to release stuff, even though I was multi-tracking 4 tracks. And then, you know, once computer technology caught up to being able to do that really easily.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so, you didn't release, but do you have the stuff?
I don't think I do. A lot of the improv stuff, that's with my ex. And so I have some of it.
Here, I want to play this song, your song.
Thank you.
Why for Peter show that chunk of music, Rosalie, with your song. Then Cedric Noel, Brand New Dove. The Ophelias out of Cincinnati with Vices. Team Dresch out of Olympia. Great bass player, Donna Dresch. Fake Fight, the yo-yo version. Nick Hudson with Comeback When There's Nothing Left. And Rosalie with Bones. Tell me about that tune, Bones.
So, yeah, that's off my recent record. So I wrote it, I was real angry one night. Dysfunctional relationship. I was not in a band with this person, but, you know, like one of those push-pull situations. And I was walking home just mad and kind of was thinking of the lyrics that, you know, it's kind of the chorus part. So I got the structure of it, and then I recorded that whole album with the David Nance Group, an Omaha rock band.
Let's talk about the record.
Yeah.
You went to Omaha and recorded with
them?
Yeah. Okay. What studio?
We recorded it in a basement.
Yeah. This is what you can do these days because it's not all bad new days, right?
No.
You can use the internet for more than spreading lies and bullshit. You can actually collaborate, or you can make studios with more econo equipment and not have to give it to somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what was the connect with these Omaha cats?
Well, I kind of knew them peripherally, you know, just from the music scene, but Long Hots went on a tour with David Nance.
Oh, group, okay.
And like the summer of 2019, and I had been writing all the songs, like forming them earlier that year, but I didn't really know yet what I was going to do. And sort of midway, you know, through the tour, I think we were in Detroit, you know, Dave was like, we want to be your backing band for your record.
Oh, so you didn't even solicit. It was them.
No. Oh, they offered. I was flat and stoked. Yeah.
So what was the process? Did you make them little demos or would you just play it for them and say, hey, what do you want to do? Or did you say, hey, play this part, that? You were the shot caller, but what was the process?
I sent them not really demos. Like, I'm always like, what's the point in demoing if you're going to go to the trouble?
Yeah, right. I heard Pete Townsend, you actually, when you record with him, you record on the demo.
Yeah.
Joey Warnicker was on the show a few weeks ago, and he was talking about, you're replacing the demo drum part on the demo. Because Pete don't want to do it again, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, I think from my background of being into improvisational music and growing up with musicians, the people I play with, I want their ideas. I want what they do. So I sent them, you know, just like my Casio drum beat and then the, you know, me playing and singing on top of it just so they could learn it. And, you know, we would talk about sounds, like reference different records, but really we just went there and hung out for 10 days straight and played it in first thought, best thought kind of approach where we tracked most of it live other than, you know, guitar and vocal overdubs and some other like things, but just to get the energy, the rawness of the live band. Because it's kind of fun making a record with a band that already exists because they have their energy that they bring to it. And they
got the
really
chemistry and they know how to read each other.
Exactly.
Was it mixed over there?
No, we mixed it in Philly. My friend Quentin Stolzfus, he has a studio called Silent Partner that's kind of new. So he mixed that.
And would you call it like produced by Rosalie?
Yeah, I would say it's co-produced by Rosalie, by me, and Jim Schroeder, who's the one who recorded it.
Now, when you say improvised performances, did you have too much and then you like edited down?
Not really. I mean, we would do maybe like two or three takes of it, and they weren't fully improvised, but. Yeah, seeing how it, where the energy went, you know, if this is going to be like faster or heavier, and then and then with kind of some of the hooks that came in, that was, you know, be like, oh, yeah, plug in, see what happens.
Well, yeah, like you bring the source, right? You bring the launch pad, yeah. The springboard, and then they react to it, and then there's the third thing that results out of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then in mixing, that's where I start getting bossy and calling the shots.
Yeah.
Getting
it square. Yeah, well, somebody's got everybody's hand on the rudder. You start doing right. Loops. So maybe, yeah, you know, life's about taking turns with that. But it's kind of neat because you don't really know at the beginning because you don't know the reactions, right?
And exactly.
Then you're left with that third thing, and then there's the mix thing on top of that. A lot of layer of unknown opportunity.
Yeah. And that's when you get, like, into the nitty-gritty, but, yeah, the way people reacted, I feel like there's some things that were very, you know, like, unexpected for me or surprising, and some kind of parts that might have this, I don't know, like, a weird juxtaposition. You know, the one song, I don't think I sent it to you, but it's, like, it's more of, like, a mellow. We call it like our lime and the coconut song.
Very listen. One chord, right? C7.
Yeah.
Look, we'll go on, yeah. But we're out of time here. So the end of the second hour is November 16, 2021. This Watt Peterson special guest, Rosalie Millman. Hold tight for hour three. November 16, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt Peterson show.
To explore our lives and find some memories. bird flies over the mountain. You stand at the cliff's end. You peer over the edge. The majesty of the landscape before you is truly breathtaking to behold. A bird flies over the mountain. You look at the canyon's bottom. So very, very far down. Everything seems so small, so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. So very, very far down to the ground. A bird flies over the mountain. You breathe deep. You close your eyes and hold open your arms wide. You feel the wind pass through your hair. You feel the wind pass against your face. Bird flies over the mountain. What creature more free than a bird? What joy to soar so impossibly high. High, so high. A bird flies over the mountain. You behold the majesty of the landscape, the ground, so very, very far down. You close your eyes and you sigh. A bird flies over the mountain.
some oxygen. Now I want 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 some oxygen.
Rock on. Tear me apart. we'd make our
Pedro show. We started off third hour with Copenhagen from Rosalie. Then A Bird Flies Over the Mountain from Boundless Relaxation. That's Shamrock Ward branching out to other ways of expressing himself. Tevik Fritoyov. Forgive me. I destroy another language. And he calls this song his name. Tevik Fritoyov. Fritoyov. God damn. Things are hard. Well, you read them and you think it's going to say it, then the sound comes out and it's all wrong. It's fucked up. Petrified Max after that, Blue Skies Always, and then Rosalie with Tender Heart. Tell me about the words. Do you have like a reservoir, some spiel account, or do you write to order on demand?
Both, I would say. I keep a lot of journals, you know, write both handwritten, or I'll keep a note in my phone, just keep like thoughts down. And then from that, if I kind of have like a few lines, then I'll build and write around that. There are a couple songs that I kind of wrote the words for in the moment on this record. Like I knew the melody, I knew the cadence of things, but I just like shortly before we were going to record, I sat down, I'm like, I have to finalize these words.
Right. Well, I don't think Jagger does that all the time. He writes in the studio as they're doing the tune.
Yeah, I've done that a few times. And sometimes the pressure of it helps, you know. Like,
time to shit the peak analog. Yeah, because otherwise, right, it's too lax and maybe you don't get them. Well, did you ever have like some words, hey guys, I want to put music to these words? Or is it always the music first and then the words come in?
The music first, usually.
What about titles?
Titles always last. And I'm not great at naming things. I'll just be like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's the main word. Or
you know, on the Germs album, right, there's a song called The Other Newest One.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, guess what? There was two new ones.
Yeah, the other one.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the spiel and the... No. It kind of does. I think Darby, you know, because he was a poet and stuff. But, I mean, maybe titles are utilitarian. You know, you can't copyright them. I asked that question, though, Rosalie, because I always have to have them first. Or I can't have a focus on the tune. So, and, like, nobody I know does that hardly.
Like, the title of the song you write
the title
first,
comes the... first, yeah.
Yeah, huh.
Like, Bob Dylan wrote propaganda songs. I came up with that title. Now I got to write some music and verses. But now I got the title. Yeah, I think because part of my songwriting approach is kind of like film. Mm-hmm. Because composing on the bass is tricky. You leave so much space for everybody else, you know, to collab on. Especially with D. Boone, I never had to teach him, right, because we grew up playing. So I just play shit for him. Same thing with his songs. He just played. The only guy we had to teach was Georgie, because we didn't meet him until after high school. But you know what I mean? You get that kind of a... That you can't ever redo it again and stuff. But then I got used to that, and there was just something about the song tells. That's why I asked that. I want to play this. Remember I asked you about this proj, the monocot. You said it's recent, and it's called Ruby Throated. Let me play that. Watt for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. This is Monocot, which is an improv duo with Jason Gerizes.
I think it's Gertz's.
Yeah, it's a Polish.
And I'm trying to remember. I'm like, man, do I not know how to say Jason's last name either? But I think
the Polish thing, like, we don't need these vowels, you know, so they put the consonants together. So,
yeah.
But it's a beautiful language, and just because I'm retarded doesn't mean it can't be spoken correctly, but I'm sorry. It's called Ruby Throated, and then Nadja out of Berlin with Sunwell, and Long Hots again with Boogie Trance, because this was the big jam.
Yeah.
Big jam. But tell me about Monocot, because you say that's kind of recent.
Yeah. I've known Jason for a few years through touring, and I was working on some guitar stuff on my own, and I love his drumming style. And so I asked him if he wanted to, I had a song and I was like, can you overdub drums to this? Which I know is kind of almost an impossible request, especially if there's no like beat there already.
I'll tell you the trippiest overdub. There's a movie, right? It's called Zachariah that Elvin Jones is in. He's a cowboy. He's like a gunslinger. And there's a part, it's early 70s, right? And James Gang is playing, right? Joe Walsh. When he was in Ohio Trio. And after shooting something, some guy tries to gunfight Elvin. He shoots him to death. Then he takes the drummer's drumsticks and start doing this fucking solo, right? Well, when they're making the movie, they fucked up the recording. So Earl Palmer, way after the fact in Hollywood, had to, like, redo that solo to match the movie.
Oh my God!
You think, yeah. So talk about play. What's hard? Most one man band situations. I found out like Dave Grohl, Stevie Wonder, Prince. They would start with the drums.
Yeah, I'd imagine that.
Well, he did a great. I think he did a great job here.
Yeah. Well, he. So what ended up happening is that he said, "Let's just jam." So
you just threw out the old.
Yeah, so he came out to Philly. He was in Cleveland. He came out to Philly, and we borrowed a friend's practice space and just recorded for 3 days, kind of just, you know, improvising. After every, you know, session, we'd be like, what happened? I don't know what happened. Like, no memory. And so he went back, and all the songs off that record are kind of from the same night. It was, like, late into the night, 3 a.m., and we were really stoked about how it turned out.
And Monocot? So why Monocot?
We were trying to come up with a name. You know,
it's hard. It's always hard.
But, yeah, Monocot. It's monocotyledon. It's a type of plant or a type of leaf. It's a classification of a plant. Like a single.
The biology connect.
Yeah.
See, everything comes around, right?
Yeah.
Right? We never graduate until they put us in the ground or bury us at sea.
That's right.
Life is a fucking classroom. But I think that's bitching in a way. People, a writer's block. I have no source material. Yes, you do. Just remember. Just remember.
Yeah.
Wow. And then this boogie trance, this Long Hots.
Yeah.
Is that a jam?
That started off like the first half of that song was one song, and then we were playing another night. So the boogie part was a song, and then we were playing another night, and we recorded the trance part. And then I was kind of like, well, they're in the same key, they're kind of in the same vibe. Let's put them together. How it became boogie trance. So.
Okay. And where can people find you on the internet?
Rosalie Music. .com. That's my handle on social media and all that too.
Okay, Orsali
Music.
MUSIC.com, people. And from there, you probably got links to other stuff. And what do you have going right now, this moment?
This moment, I've done a little work, watched my dogs, but I'm ready to go on tour. I'm going on a Rosalie tour in 2 weeks with His Golden Messenger.
And when you say Rosalie, is it woman alone or is there an ensemble?
It's going to be a duo with my friend Emily Robb.
Okay.
She's a Philly musician. So we're doing stripped down versions mostly of the new record. So oh, that's happening.
So they're going to be reinterpreted in a way.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
And yeah, then we'll be so full- people don't expect a karaoke machine.
No. never expect that.
I know, that was just a lame joke. Sorry.
And
what advice would you give to somebody getting into music? Not just even young, right? Maybe Joe Biza didn't start guitar till he's 27.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to just do your thing. I don't know. You got to be prepared. Don't expect any kind of easy path. So just develop what your sound is and what you like and surround yourself with musicians you love.
I think that's great advice. Really good advice. And I wish you luck, everything with this tour and future music stuff. Please come back and bring it and talk about it.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Very, very welcome. People, it's been it's November 16th, November, Walk from Pedro Show edition. Keep your powder dry.